Hey everybody, welcome to the Goots Cast. This is your Bound for Glory post show. And this has to be the worst pay-per-view from Impact Wrestling I've seen since we started since the pandemic started. I don't know.
I don't know if it's the worst because I like the ending, but that's about it.
I've done worse ones. There's still like they can still fuck up the ending. I don't have confidence that's gonna.
Yeah, I could have sworn the worst pay per views by Impact Wrestling, but maybe I'm wrong. You know,
I was at Bound. The other thing too, I'll tell you what the one of the worst parts. The crowd was horrible. Like I saw someone already be like, the crowd was excited. I'm like, this crowd was awful. There was no energy to this crowd unless like, they didn't like the room.
Not a lot of energy.
There's no energy. I thought that them going to another – they should have came to New York. Because I feel like even with this shit show, New York fans just would have been happy to see wrestling. They should have came back to Astoria like they did 3 years ago.
They probably can't afford – no, that's not true because they went – they flew all the way to Sam's Town. That's in Las Vegas. They're not normally in Sam's Town. They're not there.
Well, they've done a lot of tapings in Sam's Town before the pandemic. Like in 2019.
Yeah, maybe it's cheaper to go to Las Vegas. I have no idea.
I would have went to New York. I don't know, or
Philly.
New Jersey or Philly.
Philly would have been hot for this because Philly, MLW does Philly, and that crowd's always hot. They just love wrestling in Philly.
This crowd was horrible, but I feel like this, so this was supposedly the last night of the AEW Impact deal, and that did such damage to this company that I don't think they're ever going to recover. And you can feel it tonight. They're left with nothing. When they just focus on who they have, the show's horrible. Like there was no, like they promoted I don't know if you remember the commercial on Slammiversary, but it was like AEW is going to be here. New Japan, AAA. And there was like one or two wrestlers from each. AEW only one Christian.
AEW had like one representative. AAA had like one representative. Mm-hmm. And New Japan had about like four people.
Yeah, but they acted like this was gonna be like some grand crossover Bound for Glory.
Yeah, I thought this was gonna be like maybe like a New Japan title gonna be defended here.
Yeah, the way they promoted it in July, that I think they thought that. Here's the deal, when you just rely on who you have. Nobody's over because you spent a year building up Kenny Omega and fucking Christian. Like, nobody's over anymore.
By the way, those guys that I mentioned that are like, oh, the four guys from New Japan and the guy from AAA and stuff and Christian from AEW, they've all been wrestling regularly on their TV. So it's not like it was like, oh, we got somebody from New Japan to show up just for this pay-per-view. No, they've already been wrestling on your show program for months now. So,
and the other thing, everyone that showed the my friend wrote up a great point. The lighting's horrible on this fucking show,
dude. I thought it was my streaming thing. It was so dark.
It's so dark. It's so badly done, and it's like this is the crazy part is they had better lighting in 2002. They had better production in 2000 when they had the midget in the trash can jerking off. Also, like how has it come to this?
And I have no idea.
What?
I have no idea. I don't.
And the other thing is nobody on Twitter was talking about this. Nobody. Nobody was tweeting. I had more people tweeting about GCW on my Twitter timeline. Now, I have people that AEW, they were wrestling, like JD from New York, at 10 o'clock was doing his AEW Dynamite post show for like thousands of his horrible, stupid fans. Like nobody in the wrestling community, nobody was fucking watching this thing but me and probably you.
I didn't know. I watched it this morning. I didn't even watch it last night.
I'm saying, but like no, everyone was watching, even the fucking annoying Bix guy. Nobody was watching this show.
Yeah.
None of them.
Funny you mentioned GCW. They even mentioned GCW on the Impact show. You know, they're like, GCW is doing so great. They're like, he's doing great things over there in GCW. They're mentioning, they actually mentioned, what's his name? Red Stryker mentioned it. Oh, it was so funny. I was like, this guy, this promotion is battling Ring of... They're constantly battling Ring of Honor. And a long time ago, they were battling for the number two spot. They're battling for the number four or five spot right now. They're just not...
It's really, really bad. It was just really like this is what happens when you I think that deal permanently damaged them. I don't think they're ever going to recover from that AEW deal. I really don't.
I don't think they're going away, but I don't think I think they have it's going to take a while for them to recover.
Dude, people, so this girl that I follow, she tweets all the time about WWE and AEW, and she's like, is Bound for Glory like their WrestleMania? And the replies were like, no, Slammiversary is. And like I finally had to be like, no, it's Bound for Glory. Because they literally have said when they, like, for years, this is our WrestleMania. They literally had Mike Tenay say that. So I was like, no, this is their WrestleMania. Like, this is it. Like this is what they build this story
to. This is their WrestleMania.
But it is. It is their WrestleMania. Like, but, like, the fact that nobody's even sure of that. The fucking thing has been on the air for 19 years. It was on Spike TV, dude. That's, like, a major network. There's shows on there like Bar Rescue and Yellowstone that millions of people watch. Like, this wasn't like this was on public access this entire time. Like, dude.
Yeah, it's, dude.
Fucking it. They had Hulk Hogan.
They shouldn't even have a pay-per-view that's like, this is our WrestleMania. They shouldn't do that. It's very embarrassing.
Well, I think now I look at it more as a WrestleMania in terms of storyline changes. So the last few years, 2018 was the start of the Johnny Nitro era, or the fuck
he's no, going. No. I think you're right in that they used to say that, but I'm saying at this point they shouldn't even be saying stuff.
No, but it's more like from a storyline. Like Rich Swann started his reign. Now it's going to be the Moose storyline.
Yeah,
people, they always start a new storyline of a new guy being the guy. That's what I don't think. You know, I don't think there really is a WrestleMania, but that's the way they kind of treat it storyline-wise, so I'm still going to say it's their WrestleMania.
Okay, that's fair enough. I don't think anybody cares enough to argue. I don't think anyone cares enough. I'm like, yeah, if you want to say that, I don't know.
It's supposed to be their big event, but anyway, let's get into it. Let's get into it. Wow, what a show.
Dude,
let's get
it. Did you watch the Digital Media Championship?
The horrible match. One of the worst matches.
I cannot find it. Where was it? Where did they play
it? It's on the pre-show. They put it on YouTube. You can find it.
No, I looked it up on YouTube. I couldn't find it.
I think Madison Rain being the match was horrible. Matt, like, to your point about intergender wrestling, I can kind of buy Tenille in a match with Fala Bal and these other men. But fucking Madison Rain looks like she would fucking die if a man like physically hit her.
Yeah, so guys, this is like it's a six-way match, three women versus three men, everybody for themselves. So we have the women, as he mentioned, are Madison Rain, Tenille Dashwood, and Jordynne Grace.
Madison Rain, Chelsea Green, and Jordynne Grace.
And Jordynne Grace, sorry about that. And we had John Skyler. Crazy Steve was in it and Fala Bal, right?
Yeah, those three guys.
Those six people. And Jordynne Grace hits the Grace Driver. I think that's what she calls it. On John Skyler for the win. So Jordynne Grace is your first ever digital media champion. How was this match? Because I didn't get to watch this.
It was bad. It was bad. It was really bad.
Was there any men hitting women?
Yeah, mainly Jordynne Grace.
So
mainly a woman, like if a man went after Madison Rain or Chelsea, they would hit them and the man would oversell, and then Jordynne or Chelsea would hit the woman and throw her out of the ring. So if the men hit any woman, it's Jordynne Grace, which is why I think like Jordynne Grace should have been the first world champion instead of Tessa Blanchard, because you could have any man hit Jordynne, it's not gonna look bad.
It's not gonna look, I know what you mean. Yeah, you're right. It doesn't look bad.
Like, you could have Hernandez border tosser, it's not gonna look bad.
Yeah, because, you know, I think a lot of people's first impression of Jordynne Grace, first time seeing her,
Brian Cage,
was in like a all-in battle royal.
Yeah, with Brian Cage power.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think because we saw her that way, that's how we always view her.
Yeah, so like I wouldn't put Madison Rain in this match because it just doesn't – she's like the one, like, you can't do intergender wrestling with Madison Rain. I mean, unless it's a complete squash match. I mean – I don't even think she could like even hurt like a little like crazy Steve or Hornswoggle. Like unless, like if you, I would book Mazarine versus Hornswoggle, where Hornswoggle just destroys her. Like there's, you know what I'm saying? Like she's so old and brittle looking.
Yeah, you're right. She is old. She's not. It's not like we're lying. She is.
No, it's older. Yeah. So I think you can put Deonna Purrazzo in intergender if that's where they're going. They do a lot of intergender tonight, and not just here. But
yeah, they do.
I just don't think that Madison Rayne or Tasha Steele later on are really believable doing it. Like there's some women that just can't do it unless you're just gonna have them get squashed. And I know that's not what they want to do because people will get. But I at the other point, who's fucking watching this? Like,
what did you think of John Skyler?
He was good. He had to make all the women look good. So he kind of, I mean, like, I think he even sold for Madison Rayne and
former jobber on AEW Dark. He was like one of the guys who was
well,
like,
well, he's now a jobber for the women.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, moved up. All right. Now, the first match of Bound for Glory is actually a match that I didn't get to watch because, believe it or not, I checked out two streams. None of them, they all cut this match off.
Right? Wow.
Is the Inspiration, formerly the Iconics, who are now going by Casey Lee and Jesse McKay versus the Decay Women's Tag Team Champions, which is Rosemary and Havoc. The Inspiration win, so they are now the new Impact Tag Women's Tag Team Divas. No, wait, Knockouts Tag Team Champions. What did you think of this match? Tell us all about
okay.
it.
Okay. The match was horrible, but I don't want to talk about the match. I want to talk about the entrance. Okay. So they brought in some woman to sing them to the ring, kind of like Scarlett does with Karrion Kross.
Oh, God.
And they're supposed to come out and dance and look sexy. First of all, their outfits were terrible. They were flesh-colored. But here's the deal. I'm just going to call them by their slave names. Peyton Royce looked really like I want to make this work. I'm going to fucking become the Impact champion. Like this is like she was really like dancing and like I'm so fucking hot. Billie Kay looked like the moment she walked out, like what the fuck am I doing here? Like she had this look on her face like because I know you didn't think she was funny in WWE, but she was doing everything right in WWE.
No, I thought she was funny.
Oh, you did? Oh, I thought at one point you were like, I don't like her, bro.
No, I didn't like her stuff with Peyton Royce. But when she was on SmackDown with the whole, like, here's my resume.
Yes, here's my
that
resume.
That shit was funny. Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is, like, the Twitter people were loving it. The fans of people like Sasha and Becky and Bailey, like, the real stans. We're loving it. Everyone was loving it. And everyone liked her. And she's coming out. Just, she looks so miserable. And then, like, there is a couple of people on Twitter that, like, every time a WWE diva does something. So I was like, oh, you got to see the Iconics entrance. And they, like, didn't even respond. They didn't even give a shit about these fuck. Like, she looks so fucking disappointed. It was, this summed up the entire show. I could tell she was like, what the fuck is this company? When she was walking out, the look on Billie Kay's face, and she's trying to do like the dance, and she's trying to like sell, like, yeah, and she's trying to do the icon, and she just looks like, what the fuck am I doing here? Why am I here? Why the fuck did I agree to this?
Probably when she saw
like,
the
outfit. I don't understand how this came to be. Like, I should be, like, Charlotte's a total cunt. And she still has a job, and I don't. Like, I don't understand.
I think that's why Charlotte has a job.
It's just, it was so, and the match wasn't good. They fell into the same trap TNA always does, where the WWE guys come in and beat their two top people right away.
Yeah.
And just to let you know that this company is always garbage, and the Iconics could probably beat up the whole company. They should just, you know what, they should have just went over top and had the Iconics pin Moose and Josh Alexander at the same time at the end of the pay-per-view. Just be like,
they
you know what?
Yeah, garbage. Let's talk about that. I don't like it when they do stuff like that where they have the outsiders come in and just beat some of like people say, oh, well, they're not the top guys. No, this they are.
They're the champs.
They're the tag team champions, and Rosemary has been like, she should be one of the final people you fight in your championship reign, which is kind of like what happened when Deonna was champion. You know, like she was like Rosemary was like.
Why can't they fight Kimberly and Su Yung or Alicia Edwards and I don't know, Chelsea Green. Like, why can't they fight those two?
I agree. Why do they have to fight? Why, you know, just like a tag team that's not a champion, and then you fucking build up to a championship. I don't understand why you do this stuff like this.
You're gonna sell, if you're gonna sell any pay-per-views on these two women, it's gonna be just them showing up, right?
Yeah.
So like if they just beat the crap out of Alicia Edwards, who's like the most untalented, like she's probably one of the worst female wrestlers to have a job anywhere. Like just have her be the jobber for them. Like that's fine. Like why do you have to have Rosemary and Havoc look like idiots? Like yeah, you just tell me that you doing this because the Iconics, Billie Kay was a joke in WWE, right? Mm-hmm. So you're telling me that Rosemary and Big Fat Sweaty Havoc would just be jobbers in WWE. Like Rosemary would just get annihilated by like Dana Brooke if she showed
up. And Havoc was one of the most dominating people right now in their division.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's so stupid. I agree. That's a dumb thing to do. Mm-hmm. You don't do that. Just don't do that. You build up to this match. You don't fucking go day one. Stupid. But not the only stupid thing they're going to do tonight. All right. So, second match of the Bound for Glory. It is for the vacant X Division Championship. It is a three-way match. ELP, El Phantasmo versus Steve Maclin, formerly Steve Cutler of WWE, and Trey Miguel. There is some cool spots. This is just basically your typical X Division match. A lot of guys just hitting moves and no selling. But there were a couple of cool spots, like the ELP rope walk where Trey Miguel tries to lunge after him. He jumps and then fucking sends Trey flying. The upside down spear that Steve Maclin hit and it flew outside the ring. Did you see that part? That part was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool. I now remember that. Yes, that was good.
Yeah. Ultimately, Trey Miguel, is wearing a cup. Because ELP always goes for the low blow, so it blocks the low blow, and then he hits the top rope Meteora on El Phantasmo to become the X-Division champion again. He starts crying, and I'm like, hasn't this guy won this title before? Why is he fucking crying? Like, I'm pretty sure Trey Miguel...
He did it on his own. Yeah, I guess. But that's why.
Good match. I liked it. It's a good match.
It was a good match. Here's my problems. El Phantasmo... I think the only reason anyone thinks he's good is because he's in New Japan. I don't think he's good. The other thing, too. This was the second best match in the show. The other thing, too, is Steve Maclin should not be in the X Division. I think they should just commit that the X Division is a cruiserweight division. Yeah. I don't like this, like, it's about no limits. Like, they're not, like, ever since, like, just commit that it's the cruiserweight division. Like, just do that. I don't know. This was good, but it wasn't like you can't compare this to X Division matches from like years ago.
Steve Maclin is a good wrestler, but there's nothing about him.
No.
Black trunks, plain name. He just hits good moves.
Why is he not with Deonna Purrazzo? Aren't they dating? What?
I think so, but I think they're on two different levels. That's probably why.
No, he should just be her bodyguard.
I think he's also pretty kind of short.
Oh, you think she's taller than him?
Maybe.
Ah, who cares at this
point? If you look at his height, he's not that big.
Okay, but can I be honest with you? Who gives a shit? Like, who cares at this point? Like,
yeah, I don't know why it's Matt Raybould or Waywald or whatever.
Yeah, like I don't care that he's shorter than her. Just make him her.
I don't know why the Drama King is her tag team partner.
It might be because he's taller than her or something.
Yeah he's like tall,
but
like,
you know what, I don't none of this matters in this company. Like, that's, we all know that they're dating, we all know he only has a job because they're dating. Just fucking make him her bitch, the end.
Or maybe he doesn't want to work with her. I don't know. I have no idea. I actually, to be honest, I do not care about that. Those two people, they don't interest me enough for me to care about their personal life.
I don't care. This guy, like, but the only reason this guy's here is because they were dating. Like,
oh, absolutely.
That's the only reason he's here. He's got nothing to offer anyone.
Yeah, but out of all the wrestling couples, they're the least interesting to me.
By the way, this show, except for Mickie James, this show proved Vince right about everyone he didn't believe in. By the way, this show is like proof, like.
Let me see. Who else has a fired?
Not Billy Kay. I feel like Billy Kay. No. I'm talking about Steve Maclin.
I think there was somebody else who looked good that used to work there.
Steve, but I'm saying like Steve, like I know they were like, oh, they didn't fire Jax and Riker, but they fired me. Well, that's because even though Jax and Riker's a racist, he's 20 times better in the ring than you, and he's not even good in the ring. So,
yeah, Steve Maclin, someone needs to sit Steve Maclin down and be like, you know, it's more than just about wrestling ability, right? You know that's what this is.
Yeah, he looks like he's here to. It was a good match, but it wasn't my favorite match. He looks like he looks like a guy who repairs refrigerators, Steve Maclin. So,
who compares himself to what?
That repairs refrigerators.
Oh, yeah. He looks like a guy who's trying to be the best wrestler in Impact Wrestling. Right? It's like, dude, nobody gives a shit about that. Nobody. You need to be a character. Gia Miller interviews Mickie James, who talks about Deonna Purrazzo in a very forgettable promo. I didn't think it was any good. Match number two. Diener and Joe Doering of Violent by Design are going to fight Heath versus mystery attack opponent. Nobody comes out. So Heath is just getting double teamed on. And then finally, midway into this match, Rhino comes out. He tags in. He gores Diener for the win. Diener and Heath Slater are back together later on the pay-per-view. They're going to do a promo that's pouring through. Uncle Rhino is back. What did you think of this tag team match?
First of all, Violent by Design came out to silence. I don't know if it was because the music was so loud, but we were watching the crowd, and they were just staring at Violent by Design. They were just staring at them. I have decided that the moment Triple H hired Eric Young is when Vince started giving up on him and NXT. That's what I decided watching this. Like, that's when Vince was, like, sitting in the room. You hired Eric Young. Yeah, I really think it could make a difference in this company. I'm giving him a magic takeover. And Vince got on the phone with Bruce, like, I need you to come back. Like, that's how bad Eric Young is. I think this match was supposed to have a different mystery partner. I don't think it was supposed to be Rhino.
That's possible.
I think this was supposed to be where Braun Strowman showed up.
It was a very – this was not up on that at all.
If Rhino is so gung-ho about helping Heath, why did he wait 10 minutes to come out there?
Yeah.
Like, he let Heath get – what if they, like, crippled Heath? What was he doing for those 10 minutes? Like, fucking checking his stocks? Like, because he comes out, there's no more hesitation. There's no more, like, I don't know. He's like, yeah, I'll do it. Let's go. Like, why didn't you just come out then 10 minutes ago? What were you doing for 10 minutes?
Why is he against Violent by Design now? I have no idea.
Why is he what?
Why is he against Violent by Design?
Because he loves Heath Slater.
Yeah, but he's he turned on Heath Slater first. Like, to join Violent by Design. This doesn't make any sense. It's so stupid.
No, it doesn't make any sense. That's why I think Braun Strowman was supposed to come out.
Yeah,
and they were still going to keep, and Rhino was still supposed to be like, I don't know what I'm doing. Am I going to go with Braun? And I think this is where Braun Strowman is supposed to be.
Violent by Design needs to break up. They need to break up that up. Gotta do something different.
They need to turn Eric Young face again.
Turn him face. Turn him like to the vet that you gotta beat or some shit like.
By the way, Joe Doering came out looking like an idiot. This guy dresses like an idiot. Like, who tells these people? Who tells these people like, oh yeah, that looks great. Wear that. Like, do you see what he had on? He had like a dead bear. Yeah, he had
like a bear, like a dead bear on.
Horrible, dude. And that stupid flag. They look so bad, Violent by Design. They are the biggest.
Oh, they're Blue Lives Matter flag.
Dude. Yellow Lives Matter. I don't know.
Joe Doran needs to go back to wearing a fur coat and a cowboy hat. That just was a good look. That was
a way better look than this.
Yeah,
Joe Doring too is another no talent. This whole thing was garbage.
Yeah, these guys are all guys who are like, they're on the precipice of like just the careers ending, you know?
Yeah.
And they're holding on to dear life, and they're trying to do, maybe if I just change up my hat, get another 6 more months out of this. But basically, almost all, everybody in this match, they're on the cusp of like they should be retired. They're done in wrestling.
Yeah.
They show you the Hall of Fame ceremony where Awesome Kong was inducted.
I saw that. That was probably like the It's probably the only time the crowd made noise is when Awesome Kong.
Was cheerleader Melissa the lady in the black who was like holding up her hand at the end and pointing at her?
Yeah, it was cheerleader Melissa. Yeah, she came out.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And they like mumbled her name. Like they didn't like
you know why? Because she was never cheerleader Melissa.
Well, they said she used to be known as that whatever fuck her other name.
Yeah, yeah. Because she had like four gimmicks or some shit in Impact, but never none of them were cheerleader Melissa. I think
like Stryker and D'Lo were horrible all night long.
Stryker and D'Lo were horrible on the what?
All night long.
Yeah, they were on commentary. I personally think D'Lo and Josh Matthews sounds better. But some people do actually like D'Lo and Matt Stryker together. I've heard people say that. And then I go, do you watch Impact regularly? And they go, no. And I go, that's why.
That's why, yeah.
That's why you think they're so good. Because you don't watch Impact regularly.
You see like a 4-second clip. Anyone's good in 4 seconds.
Do you see all the new referee shirts?
What?
The referees all have new referee
shirts. I didn't even notice that. I'm just so
sleeves instead of striped sleeves. It's striped.
Yeah, dude, I think the referees can wear shirts that say the N-word and no one's gonna notice. Don't care about this.
So we got Gia Miller. She's in the back talking to Jordynne Grace about her winning the digital media championship. She's like, oh, congratulations. And she's with Rachel Ellering. And Rachel Ellering's like, I'm going to be in the Call Your Shot gauntlet. And already right there, I was like, oh, this is fucking bad. They're telling me it's going to be intergender. And then fucking Moose comes out and Morrissey Kanda like, no, you're not going to win it. We're going to win it. And fucking Rachel Ellering, no selling this shit, just like goofing around like, I'm probably scared of these two fucking guys. This guy is gonna become the fucking your company's champion and at the end of this pay-per-view, and you're fucking acting like this guy's a joke. Rick, great job.
I missed that. I must have been so Rachel Ellering didn't even sell that Moose is scary or anything.
Yeah, like Moose. So like they're interviewing Jordynne Grace and she goes, yeah, I won, but my buddy over here, Rachel, she's gonna win the Call a Shot, you know, gauntlet, right? And as Rachel's talking, Moose and Morrissey come out and they go, no, you're not gonna win anything. It's either going to be me or Morrissey who's going to win the Call Your Shot gauntlet. And while he's doing this, Rachel Ellering is just making faces like it's a joke. Like, oh, it's two of them.
Oh, but 21 can win. You got to keep Rachel Ellering strong.
Can you, like, you're never going to have to fight this guy. You're never going to fight this guy. This guy is never going to be the person who's going to block your career, Rachel, because you guys are in two different divisions. He is going to become the champion at the end of his pay-per-view. Can you at least fucking make it seem like it's serious? You fucking joke. No, you're another
company. This company doesn't care about anything.
Rachel's a never been. She's actually been a never been.
They probably told her to do that. I guarantee they told her to do that.
Yeah. Anyway, this leads to our third match, the Call Your Shot Gauntlet. Oh, I don't know why they're fucking calling it a gauntlet, because it's basically just a battle royal.
It's a Royal Rumble because they don't want to call it a battle royal because they're afraid Vince will sue them.
You can't call it a battle royal?
No, because it has this. I don't think they want to use Royal or Rumble.
Why MLW calls it a battle riot, because they can't call it a Royal. Okay, they call it
because if you say like it's a Royal or a Rumble, Vince can be like, oh, you stole. Because really, I don't think any company should do a match like this because this match is so WWE, and I just think all it does is remind you. I wish it was January. I was watching the Royal Rumble. It doesn't do any. No one ever does this match good.
Wait. AEW calls it a casino battle royale. So you can use the word battle royale.
Yeah, but you know what though? This was on their first episode. I just think they were nervous about it. I think Jeff Jarrett was nervous about it. It's too late now. They've been calling it a gauntlet for 20 years. So.
Oh, okay. Well, it fucking sucks. All right. So there's 20 minutes. Supposedly, there was supposed to be some, like, remember, when this was naturally announced, it was 5 names announced and then the 15 to be announced people. And I thought they were going to bring in some people from the outside, like maybe a Buddy Murphy or Braun Strowman or somebody.
No, it was Tasha Steelz and Melina.
They got absolutely nobody almost. Chris Sabin's in it. Rocky Romero is like the one of the New Japan guys who comes in as a surprise. He gets eliminated almost immediately, pretty much. He's the first guy out, actually. Right? Madman Fulton's in it. Rohit Raju, I thought, was very good in this battle royal. Because he was doing his like heel, like chicken shit heel gimmick very well. Like he actually made it like bearable. Who else? Melina. Oh, so there's women in this. Tasha Steele's in there. Rachel
Ellery has better gear.
She has better. I told you she has better gear, right?
Tasha Steele's and Melina being in this match was horrible.
Savannah was Evans was in it as well. Melina's in it. So there's Alicia Edwards. So it's about five women are in this battle royale. They all get eliminated. When Melina gets eliminated, I think she got eliminated by Brian Myers. Mm-hmm. She fucking fell, and I think she fucked up her knee because you saw people fucking rushing, like referees are running down.
Yeah, because why are they having her wrestle men? She's old. I'm like,
yeah,
dude,
yeah.
Like, like, okay, like, maybe in 2007 she could be in matches with men. I don't know why she's in a match with men now. It just is dumb. Like,
yeah.
Like she's not what she was. And like, you're having Brian Myers throw her around. Like, well, why put her in this?
Threw her out. I think she just fell back. I have no idea. But
I know, but it was just dumb to have her in there. Her and Tasha Steele's, it was so dumb. And Alicia Edwards is also, I know they, oh God, this fucking company.
Yeah. I don't know if she's still hurt, but she looked like she was hurt. The surprise person in this battle royal was the Kiss Demon. And yeah, the Kiss Demon, because everybody
which sums up this company.
Yeah,
the Kiss. Can I tell you something about the Kiss Demon? The Kiss Demon was not over in 2000. Like, the Kiss Demon was a joke when it was new, and then you bring him back 20 years later, and that's your only surprise.
I know,
and it wasn't even, dude. Glacier, like if they brought in Glacier, that'd be different because Glacier. Even though everyone thought he sucked, he was around when WCW was hot. This company cannot escape the year 2000 in WCW. Why do you want to keep reminding people of that era? Why? Why? Like, you've just been a continuation of shitty WCW for 19 fucking years. Like, it's 2020. Like, I laughed when he came out. The guy could barely move.
Like, yeah.
Like, you should have Scott D'Amore go in the fucking ring. I don't like anyone. Like, is there a woman they didn't use? They could. I just to me is like this and social media, they did get a buzz, but it was like, look how stupid Impact is. Look how stupid they are. So they brought in the Kiss Demon.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Moose wins.
What do you call it? Yeah, Moose wins. He throws out W. Morrissey and he pins. Who do you pin? Matt Cardona at the end for the win. So he has got your call your shot briefcase or whatever the fuck it is they have over there. So he can call. He's basically like Money in the Bank, basically. Match number four, Good Brothers, who are the tag team champions versus Chris Bay and Hikuleo versus Finn Juice. Three-way, triple threat tag team match. Juice Robinson hits a frog splash on Chris Bay, but while he's doing that, Carl Anderson tags in and he throws Juice out and he covers Chris Bay to retain the tag team titles. They got to get the belts off these guys.
This was a horrible match. How is it you have a Bullet Club match? How do you have a match with all these guys who are basically New Japan aces and it's this bad? Because the Good Brothers, Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson is just a no talent. He just has nothing to offer. The Bullet Club looks horrible in this company. This match was terrible. You know, have Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows been showing up on AEW with Kenny Omega? I feel like once Adam Cole showed up, they threw those guys away silently.
You know what? I think you're right. Once Adam Cole showed up, they weren't on last night. They haven't been on.
Well, they couldn't be because of. But they haven't been on for weeks. Like,
yeah,
I remember when Adam Cole yelled at Tony. No. I remember Adam Cole gave a promo and he didn't even mention them. And then they never saw them again. Remember the first promo where he yelled at Tony Schiavone, get out of the ring, nerd?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm with the best tag team in the world. I'm with the best wrestler in the world. And they're just standing there. He never mentions them. And then they were gone the next week.
Yeah, I think so. I think the Good Brothers have been riding on this, like, we were the original Bullet Club. We were big in Japan.
But now the Bullet Club sucks.
Yeah. They've been riding this high and trying to cash on it for, like, over a year now, and nobody's buying it. There was even a pointless match where Hikuleo tried to give him the wolf sign down low, right? Mm-hmm. And then Luke Gallows goes like, you got to do it up high. We're the ones who made this famous. I'm like, no, you weren't. It was the wolf.
Yeah.
The wolf pack are the ones who fucking made it famous. You guys were just caught. But
they come across as such fucking never were has-beens. Like, it just is so bad. This match was horrible.
This entire match was basically all New Japan pro wrestlers from like a couple of years ago. If you think about
what is Juice Robinson doing with his look? It reminds you of, you know who's a better wrestler and who I'd rather be watching? Randy Savage. Why did he think that was a good look for him?
Juice Robinson, I think he's I don't know what happened, but I think he let himself go. Like, I think he let himself get fat. Because I have not seen him wrestle without a shirt for like over a year now.
I think the only two guys who have a future, but they've got to get out of here right away, are Dave Finlay and Chris Bay. Everyone else, it's over. That was in this ring.
I don't say anything to David Finlay.
I think he could be a good.
He's small. He's small, doesn't have a good look. He's like two donuts away from Joey Janela body.
You know what? Like, you might be right. Okay, so Chris Bay. I see Chris Bay should go to AEW.
Chris Bay and Hikuleo. Because he's humongous. Hikuleo's really fucking tall.
This was such a bad match.
I can see those two.
And the fucking Good Brothers just carry themselves like, I hated this fucking show. Can I just tell you, I just get so fucking mad that this company just limps along and they just fucking garbage. It's fucking garbage. How dare they even charge a dollar for this show? Fuck are these people?
Dude, they got to get the fucking belts off these guys too.
They got to get rid of these guys. These guys, let them go to AEW and stand next to Kenny Omega. Like,
fuck yeah. I would sell their contracts to AEW or something like that. This is ridiculous. Christian cuts a promo, and then we're going to go to match number 5. It is for the Knockouts Women's Championship. It is a Mickie James versus Deonna Purrazzo. There's a ref bomb, blah, blah, blah. Stuff happens. Mickie James hits a tornado DDT for the victory. I didn't think this match was that great. That was our
song, right? I actually like this match the most of the night. I thought Mickie James looked hard.
I couldn't get into this match. It was just like, you know, like, oh, I hit
my By the way, why is Deonna back in this gear? Like, why is she back?
I don't know.
Yeah, he's back fat now, too. Like, come on. Like, who is advising these people? You know what somebody tweeted out and it got like a lot of likes? Someone was like, why in October of 2021 are we still pretending Deonna Purrazzo is some amazing superstar WWE missed out on?
Yeah. Somebody tweeted that?
Yeah.
I agree. I don't think this match was that good. It wasn't bad. Don't get me wrong. It was not a bad match.
I think if she won, I probably would have liked it. I like the fact that Mickie won.
Mickie James won, but there were some spots where Mickie looked like she looked fucking like slow or tired. Yeah. Mm. And then there was like the moments where like I hit my finisher and then she kicks out and you've got like the Oh my god, she kicked out of my finisher. Like, dude, are you fucking stupid? Like they both made that fucking face.
But here's the other thing, and I'm not, I actually do think I would have had Mickie James win anyway. But like this again proves my point. Mickie James was a loser in WWE for years. And now, you know, Deonna Purrazzo is this unbeatable woman, right? Supposedly is this unbeatable woman in the company. And she loses to fucking Mickie James the first time they fight.
Yeah, and dude, and this match, the ending was so fucking stupid. It was so done poorly. Like, so that's a ref bump, guys, right?
Oh, yeah, they do a ref bump, but I think it's going to lead to, like, either Matthew, I don't know, what the fucking, you know, Aiden English coming.
Yeah.
Or someone coming, making a debut or something. It leads to nothing. Why even do the ref bump?
Exactly. This is why I didn't like this match. So there's a ref bump, right, guys? Ref's down. So fucking Deonna Purrazzo was a heel, grabs the chair, right? And then no, Mickey grabs a chair, doesn't she?
No, Deonna grabs a chair.
They bring into the ring, and there's a spot where Deonna's holding the fucking chair up to her face, and Mickey James does like a kick, but she's supposed to kick the chair into fucking Deonna's face. She fucking misses the kick. Like she hits like the edge of it. It's so fucking botchy and looks so fake. And guess what? It's not even the fucking finish of this match. They keep going and then they do a fucking tornado DDT. So why even do this stupid ref bump with the fucking chair? There was no point in this. It was so dumb. It was just like, this match was way too long. It should have just been, if you were going to have Mickie James win clean, you should have just had her win clean. You shouldn't have to do this fucking bump with a chair and then do more wrestling afterwards. Stupid. So sorry.
It was really bad. And yeah, I like the ending though. I'm glad she won. I think they need to give up on Deonna being this dominant fucking woman.
Okay, I am excited. You're right that Mickie James is champion because now I want to know where they're going with this, because Mickie James is technically an NWA wrestler, right? So if she is the champion, does that mean we're gonna have NWA wrestlers like popping up? Like
I hope
like
not. Camille? This is here. Here's the other thing I'm gonna say. No more other companies. Just focus, because you buried everyone by doing this. No more. No, just focus on who you have. If Mickie James is not going to sign a contract with Impact, then the first match on Impact Thursday should be her losing the title back to somebody in Impact. Like, if it's going to be Deonna, so be it. Like, I don't think they should bring in anybody from other companies for a long time. Just literally focus on who's signed a contract with you.
Damn, I don't know. Their fucking own roster is slim pickings. I have no
idea. Doesn't, but you know why you think that? Because they haven't focused on their own roster for a year. They focus on who you have. Who is going to be there every week? Try to get them over. So if Mickie James is not going to be there every week, if she's like, maybe I could go to NWA, just fucking destroy her the first match on Thursday and get rid of her then. I'm just tired of these people who aren't committed to the company getting pushes, and then they vanish, and then everyone in the company looks like a fucking idiot. Because you're still, like, at the end of the day, if Mickie James and Christian and Kenny Omega are not signed with this company, and you make everyone look stupid for them, they leave, and you're left with the fucking idiots.
I wonder if, like, this is supposedly the end of Impact and AEW, right?
I think it was, because they barely mentioned AEW last night.
I wonder if it's because, like, Scott D'Amore finally was like, hey, so did they get a job here? And Tony Khan's like, no. And he goes, like, well, fuck it then. I'm fucking, like, we're leaving. we're fucking done.
I thought, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably match pitched, number like, six. What if I managed the Murder Hawk? Like, I did it back in the day.
What if it's revealed that I was actually the real Invisible Hand, right? And it wasn't Don Callis, and I was the guy, the real mastermind behind all this. Match number six, this is for the Impact World Championship. Josh Alexander versus Christian. Josh Alexander's got his family ringside. Decent back and forth match. I don't know, I can't get into this. At this point, it's already like close to like 3 hours. I'm so like, over this pay-per-view, it's so bad that I've already beaten, like, my enthusiasm is beaten, so I can't get into this match. Josh Alexander has the ankle lock on Christian. Josh Alexander is a little slow in this match. I don't know if he slowed himself down to be on Christian's level, but he was kind of slow. Like, when he, like, had the ankle lock and he was rolling around, holding onto it, it was like, it looked really fucking slow. Christian taps out the ankle lock forward, a clean victory for Josh. Josh's got the bell. His family comes in. They're all celebrating. And all of a sudden, they look, and Moose is in there. He fucking cashes in his call your shot, and he hits a spear, and he wins. Moose is now the new world champion. The ending was fantastic, because this is exactly who should have won. And I'm actually glad they did this way, because Moose is better as a heel. And if you just had him beat Christian, like, people would be cheering for him, but he is basically robbing somebody of their belt.
I know, but it's nobody really cares about this guy, though. I don't really care that Josh Alexander had to get beat up in front of his wife and kid. Like, they didn't do enough for me to care about this guy.
I do like that. You know why? Because now
Moose. Well, now Josh Alexander has a reason to, like, fight. So
exactly. And you can buy into Josh Alexander being a legitimate threat, because this guy actually beat Christian. You know, like, he's not just, if he didn't do this and he just when Moose won the belt and Josh was like, I want to fight you, you're just going to be like, you mean the guy who was the fucking tag team champion and X Division champion? That's not it. This guy actually now has like legit gripe against Moose. So what I would just do is Moose just constantly put like obstacles in front of this guy and just like keep it going or something like that, you know?
Yeah. I'm glad
Moose won.
The ending was good. This match was terrible, I thought. I thought this match was all like,
yeah, it wasn't that good. It really wasn't.
It was bad. I don't think Christian was into it. I think Christian kind of got shoved into this position. He didn't want to be here. You look at like Edge's match with Seth Rollins, you look at this, like it's like I said, you want to like, there's more, never more a shining example of Vince knows what he's talking about than watching the Hell in a Cell match on Thursday and then this match, because it's night and day how much better Edge is than Christian at this point. And which sucks, because Christian's supposed to be so fucking good. He wasn't into this, and you could tell he wasn't into it. It wasn't a good match. And here's the problem with everything that happened. So this is what I'm breaking down for you real quick. Okay, so Josh Alexander beat Christian, right? Finally Impact got one over on AEW. But not really, because Christian is a loser who couldn't beat Kenny Omega. So Josh Alexander, and when he did, it's because they cheated. So Josh beat him. Then Moose beat fucking Josh Alexander. Now you would think, oh, Moose is such a badass. Well, he's not, because Kenny Omega beat the shit out of him too. So everyone is basically like a loser in this scenario because they're not Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega should have been the guy to lose to Josh Alexander, not Christian.
Or lose to Moose.
Yes, either one. It's still like there's a lot of damage done to everyone here. I mean, they're on the right path, but they have to stay on the right path. This is the thing that they got to do, and I know this doesn't sound appealing, but it does sound appealing because of what they did the past year. Get rid of all the outsiders and just focus on who they have. And it's going to take a long process for the show to be good, if it ever will be good again.
It's possible, yeah. I'm glad Moose is champion, but I'm not exactly excited about what's next week on Impact. Like, I don't give a shit. You know, like,
I'm expecting the main event of Hard to Kill is going to be Moose Josh Alexander. I'm sure that'll be at the very least, an okay match. But that's not enough for me to order the pay-per-view. So
I agree. Same here.
I do think the partnership's over when they promoted. By the way, hold on. Did you see when they promoted Hard to Kill? It was just footage of the wrestlers getting injured for real. Did you see that?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be one of those don't try this at home things.
That was. Why would you promote with real footage of these people getting injured? Like, what the fuck is with this company?
No, so fucking stupid.
This was the first time they didn't tease a pay-per-view with AEW or New Japan stuff. So I think these deals are over. And I think that's a good move for them. The damage has been done. You can see the damage done to this company tonight. When Braun Strowman fell through and whatever other deal, I'm surprised they have an AEW fell through, the show was unwatchable because nobody's over.
You know what you said? I will admit, you said that this is going to be partnership's going to be really, the AEW partnership was going to be really bad for Impact Wrestling. You said that like a year ago, right?
A couple of weeks in, I was like, this is not going to go well for them. Yeah.
This which was like a year ago, and I will admit, you were right. You were right.
And you kept being like, wait and see, and it's
yeah, I was over. Stupid optimistic. Let's wait and see until the storyline plays out. That's what I was saying.
Christian
and
could not get out of that wrong. Ring fast enough.
he was like, I'm done. I want to go back where it's more fun.
Yeah, Christian did not come back to wrestling to wrestle in front of people that aren't reacting in Vegas. Like, he did not. That's not why he fucking quit WWE to go to AEW.
I am so glad I didn't watch this last night, because Dynamite was good. I enjoyed Dynamite, and to watch this after Dynamite would have pissed me off, because it would have been even more unfair to watch this after Dynamite, you know?
I mean, I didn't watch Dynamite, and I watched this, and I didn't watch SmackDown either. But real quick, the Charlotte-Becky thing. Charlotte, they had a real-life fight. How was that? How was that watching it live?
Okay, so it's Becky Lynch and Charlotte and what's her fucking name? Sonya Deville standing in the ring, right? Because they're going to do the whole thing where, remember how when New Day were tag team champions and
Street Profits, they do the belt switch, yeah. Switch
belts? They're going to do that, but instead of doing it backstage, they're going to do it in the ring. And Sonya Deville asks for Charlotte to give the Raw women's title first, right?
Yeah.
So Charlotte like sticks it out, like hands it over. And then Becky Lynch goes to grab it. Like Becky Lynch goes to grab it. And then Charlotte kind of like pulls away. Like she pulls away and she turns from the hard cam and she fucking like throws it on the ground. So like you see her back and you see her throw it on the ground. But it makes Becky Lynch look like she's lunging for it. Like she's going for it and then she like doesn't get it. So then there's a belt on the ground. And Charlotte and Becky Lynch goes back to her position. And then you see Sonya Deville, not on the microphone, saying to Charlotte, pick it up, pick it up. But because the camera's so close, you can hear her saying it, but it's not on the microphone for the audience to hear. So it's like she's talking directly to Charlotte, pick it up, pick it up. She says it like three times. Charlotte finally picks it up. Then she goes, all right, give me the belt. She goes, Sonya Deville goes, give me the belt, gives it to Sonya Deville. Sonya then goes to Becky and goes, all right, give me your belt. At this point, Becky just fucking chucks the belt at Charlotte. Charlotte, like, you know, she chucks it at her, so it hits her and it falls down. So she picks it up. And then Charlotte goes, oh, you want to be Becky two belt so bad. Who wants to see Charlotte versus Becky Lynch for both the titles right now today? And like the crowd's fucking goes crazy. And then Becky goes to grab, because remember, Becky does not have a mic. Charlotte's the only one who has a mic, and Sonya Deville has a mic. Becky has no mic. So she goes to grab Sonya's mic, and as soon as she grabs Sonya's mic, Sasha Banks' music hits, and you see Becky Lynch stare right at Sonya Deville with like a smirk on her face, like, these motherfuckers. Like she's like almost like saying, this fucking bitch was so lucky that this fucking music hit right now. Like, you know? Mm-hmm. And then they went into the rest of the fucking program, whatever that was. It is very awkward. It is a really weird exchange. And
apparently Charlotte was escorted. They had a backstage fight, almost like Shawn Michaels Bret back in the day. And which never happens anymore. You never hear about this happening. And then Charlotte got escorted out of the building. Now, the thing nobody talks about is Charlotte has had a history of getting arrested for violent outbursts in the street. Domestic disputes. Really? Yeah, you never saw her. She has an arrest. Yeah, there's a mugshot out there. Her and her former boyfriend. Who was her husband? Gunner? Was Graham? It Gunner? Graham. She got arrested for attacking him in the street. So she does have a temper and a weird thing going on with her. I think she wants to go to AEW. You know what it is? It's just so weird, but I think Vince adds to the pressure. I think it's a lot of it's really stressful to date somebody in another company like AEW. I think both WWE and Andrade put pressure on her in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And
I can see that.
And I think it's really stressful to date this guy. And I know this guy, I think this guy wanted Ric Flair to be his manager, and then Ric Flair got canceled. And I'm sure he's like venting to her about it.
Do you think Tony Khan would take Charlotte?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he would be an idiot not to. Yeah, yeah.
Of course. Dude, not only would he take Charlotte, he'd probably fucking give Charlotte the world title. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he, of course, he would.
But do you think she would be bad for their environment?
No, because I think she didn't act like this until Andrade left. And then all of a sudden, she started being a bitch. She only turned, like, so Wade Keller, who never has scoops anymore, finally somebody fucking picked up the phone and said, I'm just gonna call Wade Keller. They say she's been a bitch all year. She doesn't care about anything. She only cares about her look. She doesn't talk to anyone anymore. And that started when Andrade wanted to leave. So I think that she wants to leave and go be with her stupid fucking boyfriend who's barely getting a push in AEW. What?
Beyonce.
Whatever the fuck he is. I don't know. Who cares?
Or husband. I think they're married now.
I think they're not married yet. But I think also Flair getting canceled had a toll, because I think, you know, Andrade probably thought, I'm going to get a big push with Flair as my manager. And I'm sure Tony Khan had all these ideas, and then they couldn't do them because they can't be like this. We're so nice. We're not WWE, and then hire Flair after that Dark Side of the Ring episode.
Yeah.
So I think that, I think all this stuff is having an effect on her. But again, if she's going to like, this is my thing with, if I'm Vince, because he has such a control over this company. If she's going to pull Shawn Michaels shit, just don't bring her in. Strip her of the belt, pay her to stay at home.
Yeah, because she's got like lots of years left, so you could just pay her to stay home, right?
Yeah, because here's the deal. Like, Shawn would do stuff like this all the time, but they played into it back then, right? Mm-hmm. They're not going to do that anymore. So, like, the big heat on Charlotte is that that whole segment was supposed to just be about Charlotte and Sasha, right? Not about Becky.
Yeah.
So I don't even know why they did it in the ring. If you know what I mean? Like, that was stupid for these two badass. Like, here's your belt, here's my belt. That's the other thing. They should have done it in a different way. But, like, so there's heat that it took away from Sasha because they're not going to have another Becky-Charlotte match. That's not what they want to do, right? So why even suggest it? Why even put that in people's heads? So they're not going to ride with this. But now this is all anyone's talking about. And security had to square out of the building. Just fucking don't bring her in because that isn't what WWE is anymore. And if she can get away with it once, she's going to do it again. Like, she's saying, I'm going to dictate the pace now. And just don't bring her in.
Yeah, they might do the thing where they just, like, pay her to stay at home. Because they did it with, Brody Lee.
You know? That's what I would do. I almost would, if you're going to keep her on TV, play into it. But they're not like that anymore.
I wonder if you could do the thing where you bring her on TV and just start having her job to everybody.
Well, here's the problem. If you play into it, right? If you play into it, then that's going to give other wrestlers be like, oh, I can break the script too. Because they're going to make it a storyline. I can do whatever I want too. And I know that's not what they want. So
no. Would you just let her stay at home?
I would suspend her for at least 2 to 3 months.
Or would you bring her in and make her just start losing to people?
No, I would keep her home 2 to 3 months and talk to her. And if she's still being a fucking jerk off, I would have her lose to a bunch of people, then fire her and let her go to AEW.
I don't think he wants her to go to AEW.
I would. You can cool her down. Well, she's eventually going to want to go. She's eventually going to go. So.
Yeah.
I don't think she's gonna make that big of a difference in AEW.
I don't think so either, but I think probably
I think everyone does. I think fans and Vince and Tony and Andrade and Ric Flair and Dave Meltzer and Wade Keller think so. And if you ask Conrad and Bruce, I'm sure they think so. Or JD from New York, I bet you all these fucking losers think so. I'm telling you, it's not gonna happen. She's not gonna do anything.
I don't think it will either.
And I think she'll be just as miserable there as she is here. I just think she's not a good person. So,
yeah, you could just break the contract. Yeah, but I don't know what they're going to do. It's interesting, though. It is interesting.
I would just suspend her, bring her back in 3 months. Like, look, we want you to be the Charlotte Flair from that you were in 2019, 2018. We want to give you the big push that nobody likes except for me. Can you behave? What?
You can't even call her Charlotte Flair.
And if she's like, yeah, I don't want to behave. Well, you can just call her by her real name. I don't want to behave. Then fucking have her lose to Nikki Cross for 9 weeks in a row. I don't know. Fire her.
Yeah. I think if they fired her, you know what I would do if I was Junior? I'd be like, you really want to go there so bad. Go ahead. Fire her. She can't use her fucking... No. Just fucking keep her on the... Yeah, just keep her at
just
home.
Just keep her. Pay her to sit at home as a punishment. Yeah. You gotta make it, because if you reward this, everyone's gonna do it. Because, like, all right, if Charlotte Flair can get away with it, and if I'm Roman Reigns, I don't like where the fuck this thing is going, I'm just gonna do what I want.
Yeah.
Because then, what are they gonna do? Fire Roman? They're not gonna fire Roman if they didn't fire Charlotte.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Just keep her at home.
And
yeah,
but I don't know. Nah. I'm sure she'll. This company's so stupid. She'll be on Raw cutting a promo about how great. No, she'll be on SmackDown. No, she's on SmackDown. For she'll be on SmackDown cutting a promo about how fucking great she is for 20 minutes on Friday.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that was the show. Don't watch Bound for Glory. It's a waste of time.
Impact Wrestling's doomed. We might be back for Halloween Havoc on Tuesday because that seems like it's going to be a good one.
Tuesday, that's right. That one, it should be good. That's a big match.
Yeah, there's also a big return and stuff. So,
what? Who's big return?
Somebody's returning. Somebody's like, I'm going to be reborn.
Yes, right. They're revamped themselves. That's right. Yeah, yeah. I'm excited for that. I think it's going to be good.
All right. So we'll probably 99% we'll see you Tuesday unless I get a show. And yeah, we'll see you then. All right. Thank you.
See you later.